You know, when I read Isaiah 53, and when I've read it in the past, it's the end that usually grips me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned all to our own way. We've gone astray like sheep. We've wandered off into the wilderness like sheep. We've gotten lost like sheep. Like sheep, we've done dumb things and gone astray. Last time I went astray like a stupid sheep was when we were in Israel. I wasn't watching where I was going. I came down out of the bus and I was telling everybody, here we are on the top of Mount Scopus and I'm excited. We're getting an opportunity here for everybody to see the old city of Jerusalem, to get a good view of the Temple Mount and a good view of where the temple had been located and a good view of the old city of Jerusalem. And I was excited. And so I come down out of the bus and I'm saying to everybody as I'm walking along, I'm looking back at them and saying, come over this way, come over this way. And my foot goes right into a hole. The people there in Jerusalem have decided it would be nice to beautify the streets by cutting holes in the concrete of the sidewalk and put trees there. Only I didn't see one, and my foot went right in the hole. And I went down on my face, flat, having sprained both sides of my right ankle and majorly pulled my Achilles tendon. And like a stupid sheep who's gone astray, I didn't go to the hospital. I mean, Hadassah Hospital was right next to us there on Mount Scopus. And did I go to the hospital? No. I walked on that ankle. I walked on that ankle the next day all around the old city of Jerusalem. Literally around. Isn't that right? Literally around the old city of Jerusalem. We walked through the Jewish quarter to the Western Wall. We walked around the Temple Mount itself, through the Kidron Valley, past the site where St. Stephen was stoned, then up the hill to St. Stephen's Gate, through there and to the Bethesda Pools, and then along the Via Dolorosa, and here I am hobbling. And with every step, with pain shooting, my mind kept going back to this very passage from Isaiah 53. Not the sheep gone astray, but surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. I was stupid. But with every step I was reminded. Thank God that memory doesn't include the pain, just the memory of the pain. With every step I was reminded that as painful, as uncomfortable as this was, as upsetting as it was to hurt myself this way, Jesus bore far more. He bore far more for me, and he bore far more for you. He took upon himself not just our sins. We're used to hearing about the portion with regards to our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're used to hearing about the sin portion, but we so frequently forget to talk about the pain, the illness, the injury portion, the section where it tells us that Jesus bears all that divides us, all that separates us from God. Both our sins and our stupidness and our illness and our injuries. Jesus comes to bridge the gap that we have created between us and him and between us and each other. Jesus comes to bridge the gap that we have created between ourselves and God. Jesus comes to truly become the good shepherd, seeking out the lost stupid sheep. One of my favorite icons of Jesus is of him as the good shepherd with the lamb around his shoulders, lovingly carrying the sheep back to the fold. I so frequently feel like a lost sheep. In moments when I'm hobbling around on my foot and as it slowly recovers, and yes, it will take several more weeks for that Achilles tendon and the Achilles tendonitis to improve, as I recover from the injury, I am reminded repeatedly that just as Jesus died for my sins, just as Jesus took upon himself my iniquities, so also he took upon himself this pain. With every step along the Via Dolorosa, with every station of the cross, from Pilate's headquarters to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and the tomb itself, with every step and with every painful motion, I was reminded that Jesus bore it all and more for me and for us all. I don't know what you're facing today. Some of us are facing sin. Some of us are facing broken hearts and broken minds and broken expectations and broken hopes and broken dreams. Some of us are facing broken families, divided relationships. Some of us have been struggling with friendships that have fallen into disrepair. Some have issues of trust. Some are hurting physically with broken bodies, with injuries and illness, chronic and otherwise. Some are facing tests at doctors that they're not looking forward to. Others are looking at test results and saying to themselves, I can't face this alone. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the suffering servant songs in Isaiah, is that we don't face these things alone. The Jewish people had an understanding of the Messiah as a victorious Messiah. The Messiah was going to be a military general, a great king, a high priest who would come to throw out the Roman occupation forces, to establish the kingdom of David, and to establish right worship, overthrowing the corrupt priests and leaders of the temple and the synagogue. The Messiah was going to come and do all these victorious things. The Messiah certainly wasn't going to suffer and die. They didn't view the Messiah as a suffering servant. They viewed themselves as the suffering servant. The people of Israel as the suffering servant. One of the things that the New Testament Christians first noticed, even before the writing of the Gospels, was that Jesus fulfills the images of the suffering servant that are found through Isaiah's book in Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 49 and Isaiah 50 and Isaiah 52 and 53, where the servant songs are located. If you look at the servant songs and the identity of the servant and the nature of the servant, you discover that this servant and Jesus share many, most, indeed all, of the same characteristics. That this Jesus would come to be a light unto the nations and to lead Israel in being a light unto the nations and to gather in all people regardless of their background. This Jesus would come to bring good news to the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. That this Jesus would come to take upon himself not just our sins as a sacrifice for them, but also our illnesses as a sacrifice and a healing for them too. The message of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53 was applied early on by the church to Jesus. And the understanding of the Messiah was changed forever. We have in Jesus a suffering servant who comes to serve, to give himself, to stand in the breach that we have created, and to open the way for eternal life and eternal health for all. Well, Greg, you're still hobbling along. How can you believe in healing if you're still hobbling along? What, don't you mean you will be healed? You're talking about hope for the future, right? No. If you know anything about me, you know I like the tenses in words. Take a look at the tenses in the reading today, especially at the end there, where he says, upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises, his stripes, his sufferings, we are healed. Not will be, not were, are healed. Healing is manifold. It's not just curing of physical ailments. It's the being made whole again. It's being brought back together again. It's to be made aware of the presence of God even in the midst of our suffering. It's to realize that when we suffer, we don't suffer alone. Last time I had a stomach virus, I was kneeled over in the bathroom wondering, where's Jesus now? There's not enough room here for him and me both, as I wonder if I'll see my toenails come out. You know what that's like. It's awful. In those moments, I feel myself praying, Lord, just get me through this. With every step I took, with every step I take currently in rehab, I say, Lord, just get me through this. Not around it, through this. And that's what we can look towards today in Isaiah 53. I invite you as you come to the table of the Lord today to take the elements and to remember not only did Jesus die for our sins, he died to set right our broken relationships and our broken bodies and our broken spirits with healing. True healing, true making whole. The word in the translation today is, and by his bruises we are healed. That word is a difficult one to translate. The Hebrew has many different nuances, but most importantly among them is the idea of the scar of a whipping. It's usually been connected by the church with the scourging that Jesus received just prior to going to Golgotha to be crucified. But it's more than just the scourging, more than just the whipping. It's every mark that he suffered, from the nails that were driven through his wrists, to the spear that stabbed him in his side, to the crown of thorns on his head, and yes, the whipping he received in scourging. All of these bruises, these stripes, he, with them and through them, he bears our illnesses, our sicknesses, our injuries, our infirmities. He shares and knows what we face, so we do not face it alone. As you come to the table of the Lord today, remember, not only is there forgiveness of sin, there is healing, there is being made whole again, offered here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.